Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of Questionable Decisions. We're here on Memorial Day weekend. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy holidays.
We actually have a different kind of setup for today. We actually have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, Todd Toddington. That is not his real name, but that is the name that we are going to be calling him.
Todd with one D.
Todd with one D. Todd, can you tell us a little bit about...
Capital D. Let's see, we want to talk about the military experience that I'm having.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Todd. Where did you serve? What branch are you in?
Well, I'm in the Marine Corps. Captain in the Marine Corps. I've been at 29 Palms. Lovely, beautiful 29 Palms. I hope you all go there at some point. It's kind of like the Hills Have Eyes type scenario. It's a weird place. So yeah, I've been in about almost 5 years. I'll be coming down to San Diego to continue my tour. I'm a logistics officer by trade. I've been to Afghanistan only once, 7 months towards the back end of Operation Enduring Freedom, where they were pulling out all the Marines.
Excellent, excellent. Wow. I mean, this is a he's a good man. He's better than either Max or I. You know, without a doubt.
He's done something for people. Are we having this stupid fucking podcast?
I hear that just like, damn, like he's actually done some shit. Fuck.
Look, thanks. He's leaving now. I'm going to cry.
But I can die now. Like, I don't have to do anything anymore. Like, I've already done what I need
to do,
so I'm good.
He's done.
I can retire, right? 28? I'm able to, I can retire now?
Man, that is the American dream.
That is the American dream. That is owed to me. I should be able to retire.
You're getting up there, man.
I know.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so...
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day. Thank you. I do mean that.
What are your perks like on Memorial Day? Are you getting any, like, extra ump for the Memorial Day? It's about you, right?
I mean, it's... Veterans Day is about the active duty service. Memorial Day is really thinking about the people that you've lost while you were in combat, or people that you knew that served. Like that's what Memorial Day is really about. Like actually talking about the people that we've lost, the fallen.
Okay.
That's really the distinction between the
two. I knew there was a distinction. I wasn't sure what it was.
I just thought
you're memorializing those that have fallen.
Oh, that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. There we go.
I thought it was just a way for Bud Light to sell beer on barbecues. Fuckers.
So yeah, we just kind of got a couple questions about just some stuff about the military, the Marines, and
cool.
Just kind of some stuff that's interested us a little bit.
I'll answer a couple things.
See, we're highbrow here, goddammit. We're super highbrow. We give real interviews. We don't just talk.
Oh, wow. I'm getting nervous. I'm sweating. I'm getting my lawyer involved.
Don't fuck this up, Todd.
Capital D, remember that. Capital D.
Todd.
Yeah.
So we'll start off with just kind of something that... Now, I don't know how long it's been around, but I know that with Facebook internet. And Twitter and internet, I've now more aware of it. Stolen Valor.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know what Stolen Valor is, it's these people who have never served, and correct me if I make a mistake here, Todd, people who have never served who find their way into full uniforms and, you know, like, I don't know, all the regalia, medals in some cases, then try to play it off like they served to get what, though? Like, what are they getting at?
They're sociopaths.
I haven't really personally run into any. You can pick them out pretty easily if you are. It's pretty easy. I mean, people take for granted like how you have your ribbons arranged.
Really?
Like, that or like how you wear the uniform or what uniform to wear. There's a lot of different like machinations involved on how you put your uniform together, especially with depending on which branch you're with. So it's easy to pick those people out.
Okay.
I think people do it. Is like because there's like a gap in their life or there's some void they're trying to fill, and they just want people to like appreciate them for something. It is some sort of sociopathic thing where like they convince themselves, yeah, you know what, I have done this, and they haven't. I think that's the biggest thing is they have some void in their life. Like, well,
and they
I need some me time, or I need to be like the center of attention, and I think that's what it is. There are some other people have gotten pretty. In depth in some of it, like where they actually have like tried to like scam benefits off, or some people will do it for something as simple as, hey, I get a military discount. I mean, there's some, but by and large though, is people want to feel important, or they want to be recognized for something.
Recognized by
the attention. It may be
daddy issues.
Yeah, that. Yeah, probably. I think it's the attention. It could be the biggest thing. I think is the attention. But for a service member, you can pick those guys out pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly.
And like, what does one even go about getting? Like high quality knockoff military.
Yeah, it's actually not as hard as you would think. I mean, I'm sure there's like bulk stores you could probably find it online. But no one. I mean, some of the uniforms can get really, really pricey. Like when you talk about like the dress uniforms and stuff, they're supposed to be the more fancy uniforms.
Right.
You don't really see people trying to fake those too much. But like I said, like if you're not in the military, people will be able to call you out on it pretty quick. Whether it's how your uniform looks, or they'll start talking to you, and then they know you can't talk the talk.
Right.
They're going to start digging in you.
And you shame them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Some of them gets pretty bad.
Yeah, sometimes it gets like... You're like, he deserved it.
Yeah.
I never feel bad for
anyone. I ain't never feeling bad for anyone who's doing the Stolen Valor and gets called.
I don't know if this law is still current, but my last understanding was that you can't impersonate a police officer, but you can still impersonate a service member and not be charged. I don't know if that's still correct, but I think that's how the law was previously.
Well, I mean, I know you're right. I know that it is against the law to impersonate a police officer.
But I think
and actually try to act like a police
officer. Yeah, I don't know if it's chargeable to impersonate a service member. Unless you try and get on a base, then yeah,
right,
you can get,
right,
you
right,
get
exactly,
put yourself in a sling.
I think the issue is always when you try to assume the authority.
Yeah, that's probably
of the uniform.
Yeah.
As well.
I remember like in the 70s, all those guys were raping all those girls by saying they're police officers and shit.
That happened.
Yeah.
I mean,
let's get dark. Yeah.
That did happen.
That got real dark.
That's why. My bad.
Yeah, there's some screwed up people. I honestly don't know why you would want to impersonate something that you wouldn't be able to talk to or you haven't done.
Right.
Because people are nuts. You don't have to do that.
Yeah, there's some strange folks out there.
Fuck those guys.
I hope I would run into one of them. I mean, I'd love to call someone up.
Right,
that's wrong.
Absolutely. It seems like it'd be a great just public
show. Oh, you could just scathe. Yeah.
Absolutely. And one where...
No one would defend him.
Right, exactly. One where you're never the asshole. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
no matter what level
no matter
you took
level,
it to,
yeah.
Aside from murder.
Right, aside from like just like beating a dude senseless or something. Yeah, just like a... Like, just insulting him until like he leaves in tears.
I feel like a crowd would gather and there'd be that one guy that's like just joined the crowd. Like, hey, what's that guy getting his ass beat for? Oh, Stolen Valor. Oh, cool.
Oh.
And just keep watching.
Yeah, yeah. Or just like walk, like keep on walking. Like, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Consequences.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Consequences.
Oh man. So moving on a little bit. I know your family. You've got a wonderful family. Love your parents.
Mm-hmm. The Tattertons.
What would you say was the hardest part about not necessarily leaving them? You know, everyone as they grows up, but I guess leaving them knowing that you might not see them again.
Yeah.
How did that change things when you got deployed or going?
It was actually before I deployed. It was a weird moment, like when I'm 20 years old and I was filling out my own will. That's just not something you really ever think about. It's like, who do I need to give my... Because if service members killed in combat, like there's certain royalties and stuff, not royalties, but benefits that go to dependents. So like at 28, or then I was 27, all right, so my mom and dad, they're going to get this money like if I die. So like I'm filling out a will. Like that's kind of surreal, and it makes things very, very real too. At the same time, it's like, well, I'm going to go to a foreign country where somebody wants to kill me. Obviously, everyone you're around out there is carrying firearms. I mean, they're all on the same sheet of music you are. I want to kill that guy too, because I don't want him to kill me. But it was very surreal. I think it didn't completely hit me until probably actually once we had gotten the tarmac and we got there, or even like once I like when shots were actually fired, or I saw like my first casualty, like. Those were the, it was like kind of like, holy shit, this is it's not training anymore. We're here. Yeah, it changed the dynamic a lot. But it's, at the same time, it's not even, like the feeling, like, I don't know if we're so, like, I don't know if like we're we're raised almost now, like how video games and stuff like all that, like it's very, very similar to that. So like you're almost desensitized to it. And obviously with the training that you go through, mm-hmm. you know, repetition, you'll see people die, but like your train of thought gets reprogrammed.
Okay. So you said you're out there during the last, you know, towards the end of it for about 7 months.
Yeah.
What would you say, you know, and, you know, again, I don't know exactly how they laid out. I don't know if you're, you know, stationed with other branches of the military. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What's the general morale and kind of mood out there when you were out there?
I think it probably different. I mean,
was there the
sentiment on, I guess the war just, I don't think you really got a feeling for that.
No, not necessarily that, but more just, I mean, the soldiers and the fellow soldiers. I mean, I'm sure that
Marines. Army soldiers.
I'm sorry.
you know, I think there were too many people out there, so I don't think there were enough. So like when you're invading a country, you're like everything's offense, mm-hmm. offense. Like things are aggressive, they're moving fast, people are busy, like they're very engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I think as like the drawdown was coming, there's still a lot of people there, but there wasn't. How it was focused was just, it didn't seem to be so chaotic. I think people sometimes may have been bored in certain instances. People were still dying, certainly. There were still some skirmishes that happened. I think people were probably happy to be pulling out of that place as a terrible country. But, you know, I don't think morale was low. Like, living conditions were pretty good. We had a couple different bases that were pretty wild. One of them was actually like a previous drug lord's house, which was a pretty badass pad, like mosaics everywhere and just kind of wild tiles.
So you said that was a base?
Yeah, so there was a camp leather next, so that's like the main hub, Camp Cupcake if you want to call it. So it's like an amalgamation of a bunch of different units. You'll have Marines there, you'll have Army there. The Jordanians were there. We had... Georgians that were there, Estonians were there. So it's like it's an international base. There, Afghans were on there.
You guys were like partying.
No,
together like
back in like Vietnam, like they could have beer and whatnot. But there, it's a completely dry base for the U.S. forces.
Is that because of the country or because of U.S. policy?
Policy. Afghans. I mean, I never really had that kind of exchange with them. I don't think they're allowed to drink, or maybe they do, I don't know. I didn't have that kind of recourse with them. But the Brits, I think the Brits were able to, they're a little bit more lax in their policies. I would like to be able to have, we had near beer. It's not the same. You have your first near beer after a few months, you're like, shit, I might be actually getting a little buzz off this. But no, it's just the placebo effect there. But like day-to-day life, it seems kind of weird. I don't know if you just get used to it. But when you're there, it seems normal. Everyone's carrying guns. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. people are getting blown up. Like it almost seems like normal. And you come back here and you're like, "Well, that wasn't normal."
Right.
Yeah.
Is it? And it's just because you guys are on such a structure.
So like 7 months, like you're working every day. Certainly the structure is there from what you trained up to.
Do you get any, when you're on deployment for the 7 months, do you get any, like, a day off at all? Anytime?
No, if you're there for a year, they'll give you R&R. So they'll give you 2 weeks to the military to fly wherever you want to go in the country. Or not in the country, anywhere in the world.
Wow.
They'll pay for the flight, military air.
Right.
And then you just pay your way for those 2 weeks, and then you come back. But if you're there, so, like, my 7 month deployment now, it's, you just... do your thing for 7 months, and then you go back home, and you get a little leave to see the family, and go back to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Like you said, it's so weird. Do you get, because we were actually talking about this earlier, the effects when you come back, and it's so different.
Yeah, it's, it really does change you. I don't know, I guess you mature. Like, I felt like I matured, and I'm still very mature, don't get me wrong. But you're so responsible for so many things out there, so when you come back here, like it's almost like you matured at a rapid rate. But, like, certain things will bother you. Like, when I first came back, like, I don't have PTSD. Like, I didn't see stuff so traumatic that, like, I can't handle it. But, like, when I came back, like, large groups of people really bothered me. Like, I would get, like, actually, like, mad, like, frustrated. And I don't know if this was just from not drinking beer or whatever during those 6 months or 7 months, but, like, my senses were very, very heightened. Like, if, like, someone liked to drop something or, like, slam a drawer or something like that, like, it would, like, kind of, like, startle me for a second. So, like, my hearing was very acute. Same thing with smells. Like, out there, you get kind of screwed up because everything stinks. So, you're just kind of like, oh, nothing. Then you come back here, and, like, all these smells and your senses are just so overwhelmed. Or even, like, sleeping. Like, at night, I'd be a little paranoid. Like, oh, I got to keep a pistol next to my desk. Just because you had one for so long.
Right.
It feels right.
Yeah, it did. For all attempts, it felt right. It made me feel more comfortable. Like, I would lock my door. I'd be, like, oh, like a little paranoid. I think this also comes back to, like, my senses being really acute. Like, I would hear things that I may not have heard before.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to, you know, tell me if I'm wrong here. You know, you said that you don't have PTSD. And I don't, you know, I've hung out with you since you've been back. You seem like the guy. You seem like the guy who pretty much left. You know? I mean, you're still you. Nothing's really changed. But, I mean, from what you described, you know, war sounds like a pretty terrible place to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's not enjoyable. Like, and I'm not, like, making it sound out to be like I went through, like, Marja or Fallujah or anything like that. Like, it wasn't that crazy.
No.
I saw some Afghans pretty beat up. Got shot at a couple times.
But, I mean, like, that kind of shit, even that, like, that's the kind of stuff that I would imagine would at least give you a little bit of some sort of stress reaction. And again, stop me if I'm wrong, I feel that, you know, like you said, those little changes that you had, you know, like, aren't those just like a little bit of a sign of something changing maybe or something?
And it's normal. It's
like, and like, again, I think, like, that's completely normal. You just came back from literally a war.
Yeah.
I think I'm almost surprised at the people who come back and are completely unchanged. You know, that's almost strange.
Well, some of them, I mean, there are a lot of civilians out there, too. But some of the people, I mean, I'm just a logistician. I'm not an infantry officer. But, like, some people on Camp Leatherneck maybe have never even left Camp Leatherneck. Like, there are civilians that have been there for almost 10 years.
Wow.
So there's some people that will be on that base and will have never, maybe never even shot their rifle. So some people on there, they generally have no reason to say, like, I came back with TBR, PTSD, or anything like that.
TBR.
TBI, a traumatic brain injury. Okay. People will say that because of, like, an IED exploded. So you actually have, like, brain swelling or something. Like, you actually know should have a physiological problem.
Injury.
Whereas PTSD is more psychological, but it translates to physiological because
there's a lot of bodily stuff that goes with the PTSD, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And they can both be kind of related as well.
Okay.
So, and is there any kind of, like, early intervention on the ground there?
So they take TBI and PTSD. They take that very, very seriously.
Okay, great.
So they've learned a lot about it. Like, I mean, this is not a new thing.
Right.
Like, it's been going on for war. I mean, PTSD isn't even just war-related. Like, people can get it from back
car
here.
Crashes,
car crash. Or something that triggers in your mind that stress that causes problems. But they take it very, very seriously. So, like, you're in a gunfight, or, like, if you're blown up by an IED, they'll monitor you, and they have some of the best doctors in the world out there.
Okay, excellent. Good. Good. That's great.
But, yeah, they don't screw around with it. Now that they know what it is, like, they will certainly monitor you. Like,
you're more proactive about it.
Like, say you're involved in two IED strikes, they'll actually consider flying you home just because they want you to be able to relax. But then another part of it is even if you're not involved in something like that, they have an intermediary base for, like, a week or so. They'll let you just decompress.
Before
you get sent home, so they'll let you just relax.
And it's more kind of still the routines and stuff, but without...
There's no stress.
Right, there's no stress. Okay. Yeah. That's actually really good.
That's really good.
That sounds really...
And when you get back, is it as good, too? Because I remember the whole debacle with when everyone was talking about the VA hospital.
Yeah, the VA is still kind of jacked up. I mean, I haven't had to deal with them very much. But, like, their websites, like, it's not user friendly. It's kind of a pain in the ass. But, like, I'm not someone who's had to really tap into them. I don't know too much. But when I came home, it wasn't like, all right, you're hitting the ground running. Like, it was definitely, There were some things like, we had to get some shit done, but for the most part, everyone that deployed, it was, hey, relax, take care, go see your families, like, take care of business, take care of some you time, because the Marine Corps is very much mission, but, like, this is time to take care of yourself. They'll give you time off, get your things in order, see your family, because the wives, obviously, that's a big part of people's life and very stressful. So they do try, like, before deployment, after deployment, and if something goes wrong during deployment, they're very quick to take care of you with a very high echelon of care.
That's awesome.
Not to say they don't get everything right every time.
No one does.
Yeah, but they definitely try their utmost, and the medical professionals out there, really, really good people.
That's actually really good to hear. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a question. As someone who's a captain in charge of some people, there's a very strong camaraderie in the military. You know, the people you serve with are your brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the people I work with are just a bunch of assholes that I share an office with.
Oh, don't get me wrong. The people I work with are a bunch of assholes, but I love them.
Okay, I guess that was my question. Like, once you've gone through training and you've gone overseas and you've taken fire with someone, I mean, at that point... Is there anyone, I guess, who you've gone through that with who still don't really like?
Oh, sure. In a civilian workplace, I don't think it's so dissimilar to what the military is with bonding. The biggest instances, if you did deploy with someone, like, it's those moments, like, if you're with a fraternity, like, those stupid moments where, like, you have that story just between those two people where you develop that bond. So I think that's probably the difference, is you just spend so much time with that person, like, something's bound to happen, where you come back, like, where we were talking earlier, like, about high school or, like, college, like, stupid things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, where you can, like, relate back to, like, oh, yeah, remember when that dickhead blew himself up?
Right.
Yeah, like, you can relate to those things. Yeah. I think that's a big piece of it. But, yeah, you definitely do forge really good friendships, like, back from officer candidate school up to now. I've got a buddy who I've been with the whole time. We're now, he's going to the East Coast, I'm staying on the West Coast. So we'll be friends forever.
Awesome.
So I don't think it's totally dissimilar to what you guys experience.
On the flip
side
of that.
Yes, I do hate some people I work with.
Okay, perfect. Because a lot of what we talk about is people we hate, let's focus on that more. Because no one wants to hear the story about your great friend that... You guys, that's too fucking happy ending. I don't need to. We don't want to talk about that.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are some. So they're the people. Turds.
Can you, like, is there like an HR person? Like, can you get people shifted around? I'm not sure. I don't want to use.
Yeah, yeah. There are.
Would you want to? If someone like you really don't necessarily like you don't trust them. Like, say for anyone who's another.
You're like that motherfucker's crazy.
Right. Yeah,
and you're giving him a gun.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, we definitely. The military definitely has like ways to mitigate that. Do they do it the best way all the time? No. Females in the Marine Corps makes it difficult. There's all types of different channels that make things difficult. But yes, they do. So if someone say they just completely suck and everyone knows it, they'll give them the most like meaningless, unimpactful job they can find and be like, you're going to do this until your contract runs out, or we can get you out sooner, and you're just going to go do this. Like, it kind of, it's frustrating because I'm getting the same paycheck as, say, he or she would be, and I'm doing three times the amount of work that they're doing. So it's frustrating, but, like, you enter a contract in with the government, so if they can't get them out because they haven't done anything unlawful, well, then they just continue until they go away. That's just kind of the nature.
You just make it miserable until they leave.
It's
in
these faxes.
But then there's ways, there's other ways where you have... judicial proceedings where, like, if, say, someone does something illegal or they are negligent or they haven't been doing their job, and you can actually bring up, because there's laws just like there are in the civilian world in the Marine Corps where you can process them out, you can expedite them. The civilian world is getting really good about knowing, like, other than honorable discharges, general discharges, and honorable discharges. So they're getting really good about knowing the difference between the two. And if someone has other than honorable, ooh, this guy did something bad, even if we don't know what they actually did.
So there's honorable discharged, and that just means...
Honorable means you did everything you were supposed to do, and you were clean, and...
And you're just out early for some reason.
We're not even out early. Like, you finished your contract, you said, I don't want to stay in. Cool.
Okay.
Well, you did a great job. Thank you for your service.
Okay.
That's an honorable discharge.
And then there is...
There's
and that's pretty much just like the you've met the baseline.
Yeah, you did what your contract stipulated. Okay. Then there's a general discharge.
What is that?
Basically, you know, I don't know. I'm not a JAG, so I don't know every little detail. But it's basically you screwed something up, but it wasn't so bad that we had to give you other than honorable. Other than honorable is like you're getting court-martialed and you're getting the hell out. Like,
okay.
And court-martialed is like... You're talking about, like, brig time. Right, and you started talking court-martial world.
So, question, now that you bring up court-martial and discipline...
Yeah.
And this is kind of a curveball question. What do you feel about people in the military who commit crimes being tried in military courts as opposed to civilian courts?
What's the big difference there? It's the jury's picked, or, like, the people that make the decision are on the decision. It's a group of people that do it, right?
So it's pretty similar to the civilian. I think we'll see. There's two sides of this coin too. So just because you commit a crime out in town, you can be tried by both. So you can be tried civilly and by the military as well.
So I guess what I was more referencing, I guess, was I've been hearing a lot about these sexual assault charges.
Yeah, that's definitely
the plaintiffs are saying, you know, they're not a fan of the fact that in the criminal or in the military trial, they are pretty much put on the stand.
Sexual assault's real difficult. So what the military has done, they try to make it as anonymous as possible so that the person that was sexually assaulted or presumed sexually assaulted, it's obviously a very stressful, very terrible situation. So the Marine Corps tried to make it so that I'm not saying they sweep to the side, but they make it so that people don't know about it. They try and keep it anonymous.
The public or the...
Both. Public. So they have these things called uniform victim advocates. And they have civilians, too, that do the same job. So basically what their job is to guide and, like, provide information to someone that was sexually assaulted. So they're their buffer between the command and any civilians that want to ask questions. So the victim advocate's taking the brunt of everything.
Okay.
So, like, any question...
Meeting with media or something. Not
me. I mean, the media could, but, like, well, if the person was smart, they would tell them to go talk to someone in the higher command. Like, the victim advocate doesn't have to. They can tell the civilians piss off. But their whole job is, like, to kind of shield the victim away from any questions that they have. But it's very intrusive just because... A lot of times, it's he said, she said.
Right. Yeah. And it's such a person, it's kind of hard to even keep that someone out of your life.
People are going to talk, people are going to know. And it's really, really difficult. I don't think there's a perfect science to it. They have rape kits that they can do, like, on the females and males, as it happens on males, too. But it's never easy, especially on the victim, because, they may have to go up on the stand and, like, defend themselves, and they're going to have to relive this time and time again. But sometimes that's just kind of what it's going to take.
Is it an often thing, the sexual harassment?
No, I don't think it's very often. But since it's such a big thing, in, like, with Congress and, like, the high-ranking officers, that it's just being, like, I wouldn't say it's showcased, maybe the wrong word, but it's, like, in the eyes of everyone. Like, everyone's like, holy shit, this is happening. Or if you look in retrospect, I think they, not to, like, diminish the sexual assault have happened, like, I think there's probably been 300 in the Marine Corps in the past 2 years. That's a lot of people, but if you put it in perspective, like, you talk about, like, civilians, I don't know what their numbers are, but I'm sure it's a lot crazier.
I work in entertainment and post-production, and I've seen proposition women, like, just point blank.
Well, then they also make a distinction between sexual harassment and sexual assault.
Very true.
So there's definitely a big distinction between the two. Correct. One is verbal, and the other one's more physical.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
I just know what happens when it's just a bunch of people together. Just starts to get real, real close.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when you and I were growing up, this was kind of in the news a little bit. Is hazing still an issue in the movies?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's an issue, but, I mean, it still goes
it
on.
Still
it's
goes
a,
on.
Still...
People, I mean, like, a little bit of
I mean,
hazing,
I remember,
right?
I remember we were hearing this shit, like, the pinning of, like, the metal.
Oh, yeah, they
is
got...
Is, like, that kind of shit going on still?
I'm sure it still goes on, like, blood striping.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got all kinds of stupid shit. I mean, this thing's supposed to be banned, like... 30 years ago because there was an order put out. So, like, this, people still talk about it. Sure, I'm sure to a certain degree it still happens. I'm not opposed to, like, I think there's a certain degree, like, things build camaraderie.
That, exactly.
And there's certain shared stories. I think some people take it to an extreme. Because they're
so stupid.
Yeah, there's some freaks out there. And they're the ones that ruin it.
Broomstick up your
like, when you start inflicting, like, actual pain to people, like, drawing blood, like, I think there's a line to be drawn. But then it also pulls people in together. Like, they, like, had a shared suck together. Like, man, this is just a miserable, miserable moment.
Right.
I got through it. Now I'm looking back on it. I was like, that shit was fucking hilarious.
Right.
You look back on it, it's like, it's funny.
Yeah.
But you have something
yeah.
that you can bring together to at the form of that brotherhood. But I do think that people take it to an extreme where you hear about people dying because they did something so fucking stupid.
It's
like,
always those, the ones who fuck it up for everyone.
Yeah, there's that, that's
funny.
One person screws it up and they gotta make a law or you can't do it.
Oh, no.
So we kind of brushed on this earlier a little bit in terms of drinking and stuff in the base. You said there's no alcohol in the bases.
No, when you're deployed.
When you're deployed. Yep. Okay,
when you're deployed, yeah.
And does anyone try to skirt their way around that? Like,
oh, fuck yeah.
Fuck that, okay.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If you're looking for a drink, you can still find a drink.
Yeah, I mean, you got civilians on base, so
They're not
bound by that.
Interesting.
So, I mean, they're all getting, they all have their booze. And
okay.
I'm sure, like, you're not supposed to have sex there, too. You have to be...
Salivate?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Really?
So, yeah, you're not supposed to be doing any of that, but, you know...
Yeah, who's
but,
following that one?
Yeah, I mean, people do for the most part.
Not a whole lot of options, I imagine.
There's a few out there. I mean, so
this is make it work.
This is how deployment works, is a 2 becomes an 8 by the end, or a 2
yeah.
becomes a 10.
That reminds me of a...
That's me of every day.
You know, yeah. Great joke I heard a while ago. General goes out to... this was way back in the World War II in the desert. General goes out to check on the troops, and by the... about the end of the week, he is... I mean, this guy's used to being in London, you know, with the girls, being the man among town.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the first week, this guy is just...
Losing it?
Losing his mind, you know, in the desert. And he goes to, you know, one of the local guys around. And he goes, hey, you know, private, I'm losing my mind here. Like, I need some female company. I need something.
Take me to a whore.
Yes, I need to do something.
I need something. You're going to take me there.
And the private goes, well... It's kind of the base secret, you know, it's kind of the unspoken secret, but if you go out, you know, in the tent over there, we kind of have a camel out there. The captain doesn't want to hear anymore. He's, what the fuck?
Camel?
Camel, you guys are disgusting. Walks away.
Get a goat or something!
Gotta get like a
by the end
elevator.
Of the second week, by the end of the second week, this guy is, he has lost his mind.
Yeah.
And he goes out, and he's like, fuck, he waits till it's dark, everyone's asleep, he goes out. To the
get some camel
pussy. You gotta get it in.
He goes,
get
the camel pussy.
Get some camel pussy.
And you know, and as he's going, you know, the one private
yeah.
who told him sees him going back there. And the next day, the general goes up to the private, goes, private, you know, I wanted to thank you. I took your advice and I wanted to use the camel. The private's like, well, congratulations, general, but usually we just ride it into town.
Disgusting. That's terrible. That's a great one. That's fucking hilarious.
He fucked that camel. Of course he did.
I don't think desperation creeps in quite that bad. I can't...
Yeah. No, for sure everyone's stroking it, though, at one point. Just like...
Probably yeah, I mean, people are still jerking it, but you're not supposed to have sex. Well, the problem lies with... It's not just having sex, is that people will start banging each other because of proximity. Well, there's a female that works down away from me, or the male works down away
and
from me. It's like,
emotions.
It's easy, yeah. And
yeah.
maybe she or he works for me, or the works in a job that I have to do things with.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, well now she's fucking someone else. Now this is a problem.
Right.
So that's unfortunate where the rule comes in. Like, it screws a lot of people over that wouldn't do that, but
she's,
you know, proximity does have something to say, and
jealousy.
It does cause problems. Yeah, jealousy.
People
so
are stupid.
It just makes things complicated, and then you can't get the job done, which is supposed to be killing the bad guy.
Why can't humans just fuck and just, that's it? That's all we did?
I blame the Puritans.
They made it.
So beer, you guys can find drugs on campus. Do you run into many problems with drugs on bases?
We're asking for a friend.
Yeah.
I'm asking for this friend.
This me.
I can't quite. What was the movie? Denzel Washington, where he was smuggling in from Vietnam.
Oh, American Gangster.
Yeah, it's nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
So, Afghanistan is, I think, about 98% of the poppy distributor. Or they originate everything, so heroin. So there were poppy fields everywhere. There were pot trees that looked like palm trees.
Jesus. What?
They weren't quite that tall. I'm exaggerating.
No, that's fine. I'm gonna leave that image for a minute. Don't do anything to take that from me.
I could walk through it and they would be taller than me. Damn. So
this motherfucker's
he's a big motherfucker. Todd is a big motherfucker.
Drug distribution. I think it would have been really hard for them with how limited it was.
Not distribution.
I didn't see any of it, okay. To be honest. To say it didn't go on.
What's the drug testing policy?
They'll do random drug tests. They can say, hey, you go piss in that bottle if they want.
What's wrong with your eyes?
I would just...
This sounds like high school
for me. Alcohol is one thing, but like you'd be like... Heroin, I don't know if you'd want to even be dealing with that, like, in that kind of environment. So it's the most miserable place. So it's either fucking cold as shit or it's hot as shit. And then in that gap, that 1 week where it's just beautiful, there's a sandstorm. Like, you just don't, man. So the last thing I'd want to be dealing with is, like, shooting up heroin when there's a... Literally, like, from the movie...
Platoon?
No. What was the zombie movie where they were trying to recover? They had a couple of them. The Mummy.
Oh, Mummy.
So remember, like, when the guy, like, makes a sandstorm, it's his face.
Yeah.
In the sand?
That shit's real?
Shit's real.
Damn.
You can see a wall of sand coming at you from miles away.
Do people die? Like what happens?
Well, yeah,
you gotta get the old people out. Right?
You go get in a truck or you go fighting hole or a leatherneck like that building straight up, like, buildings. There was some fraud, waste, and abuse, but like, yeah, they weren't like mud huts, they were straight buildings. But like, no shit, like, you could like differentiate between cleaner sand and you could just see it.
Ugh.
Well, I'm leaving.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Alright, guys, I gotta go.
That was a real bitch.
Okay, speaking of the movies, though.
It's a good point about speaking of movies. So,
do you think that they're pretty close?
Has any done
for Afghanistan? That one's coming out?
So I'm thinking. So recently we've had, you know, American Sniper, Lone Survivor, Jarhead.
You know, I don't know if they're just going to do like an overarching Afghanistan movie. Maybe like American Sniper, specific movie.
About a specific person.
Specific person. I think that's the only way you, like, you make a good movie. I don't think Afghanistan itself is sexy enough where like you have a world war. I'm sure it'll happen, but I don't think it's going to be like a box office hit. It's going to be like a documentary type.
Right.
I just don't think it. I'm sure you could get, like, specific instances. I don't think you could do the whole thing. Be like, Afghanistan!
So,
it's Sandy.
How do you feel about that asshole who came out and said the thing about Osama recently, that we didn't kill him the way we said?
Oh, that... You're going to hear so many different...
Dickface.
So many different stories about... My thing is, I really don't give a fuck about what the media says, because the media is going to put a spin on whatever they want to say.
He's dead.
That's the only thing I care about.
He's dead.
So, like, you have to look at a perspective from, like, a strategic perspective. No matter, like, where your politics, like, where you line,
right.
You have to look at, like, they can't divulge everything to the public that they want to know. So, like, when the public is making judgments or the media is making, like, their opinion based.
We don't know everything.
They don't know everything. We don't know everything. So we're making assumptions off of information that we only have been presented by already a biased opinion, because the media is biased no matter who you go to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're never going to have the whole story until the whole story comes out after it's done 20 years later. So,
yeah.
Everyone passes judgment like, oh, shit, that story was true. No one's going to have the whole story unless you're intimately involved in it.
Yeah.
And then it's something you involve, you feel like in the Marine Corps at any level, like the private from the captain to the lieutenant, like, well, lieutenant didn't fucking tell me this. Why the dickhead, like, didn't tell me all the information? It's almost need to know. A lot of the time, it's need to know.
That's a real statement.
I'm sure it happens in the civilian world, too.
All the time.
I'm sure... You're not privy to everything, but the why on something is almost more important than what you need to do sometimes.
Like, yeah, I'm wearing a condom.
It's got a hole in it, but...
Whatever, girl, chill out.
I broke it.
Oops.
So you've returned. You're back. You're here in one piece.
Mostly.
For the most part. Yeah. All your fingers and toes wiggle a little around. All the fingers, at least.
I got the fingers.
You got the fingers. I don't really know about the toes.
Good.
Now that you're back, have you noticed people? How have you been treated as a returning veteran?
Yeah, I was treated pretty well. I really didn't. I've never had anyone say anything bad to me. Like, you fought a bullshit war. Like, why? How could you kill other people? Like, I mean, it's just like, I didn't get any of that. It wasn't the same sentiment of what Vietnam was. Everyone has their own opinions. Like, regardless of what the sentiment is on the war, the people always support the troops.
Exactly. Like, that's a true statement.
I mean, like, the troops are told what they have to do.
Yeah.
So, like, to say that they're bad people, yeah, some Marines, some soldiers, some airmen, some seamen, they all, people fuck up.
No,
like,
some civilians are bad people.
Yeah, like, I mean, people are inherently bad, and you weed them out, and you can't always find the bad ones when you need to. So, saying that, like, yeah, they screw up, but you always support the troops. Even, say, like, Vietnam, like, people didn't want to go in there. But you still support the troops. You don't spit on the troops.
Right.
Like, sure, some troops fucked up and did some bad things over there. And they'll be held accountable. Like, they'll be gone the brig. They'll do whatever they need to do. But, like, you always got to support those individuals because they're being put in harm's way based off the information that they know.
Right.
It's not them saying, hey, you know, fuck it, let's go start
let's
a war.
Let's go to Vietnam. Let's hit you guys.
There's not a private saying, hey, you guys, Vietnam, Korea? Woo-hoo! Anybody? Who wants to go?
Call little Jimmy from up the street.
So you always got to support the guy on the ground.
Absolutely.
And do you think we're getting better at doing that as a country?
What?
Kind of
supporting
the guy on
the
ground?
Yeah, I think there's
the differentiation between the people making the shots and the guys who are actually on the ground.
You know, communication is always difficult, but with this day and age, like, everything's instant, which almost becomes more cumbersome.
I'm talking in terms of the support versus, like people, like you said, supporting the troops, but not necessarily agreeing with them. Like, in Vietnam, people didn't agree with the war, and they took it out of the troops.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you know, still not a popular war, but are people it sounds like, are much more supportive.
Yeah, no
one,
I mean, the people are going to go after the politicians. Okay. They're not going to go after the troops for that. Everyone's always supportive. I mean, You lose brothers and sisters, but everyone is always very supportive. I haven't been anywhere yet that someone got in my face because I'm a service member.
Is there anything you can think of that, you know, like maybe that you would like returning veterans to be treated? Something that maybe the civilians don't know about like, you know, about how, you know, something to ease the transition, something, you know. Anything that, you know, we might not know about?
Are the services, or, like, pretty good question.
Yeah.
Good one, Zach.
You know, I think everyone is pretty accommodating, you know. Everyone always wants to, like, say, hey, this guy just got back. Okay, give him a beer and give him a free meal. Hook him up. You know, I think everyone does a pretty good job. I think it's when we're not in wartime, people forget, like, say, I know Iraq's starting to pop off again, but, like, when there's those lulls where it's your humanitarian aid or you're just providing support to a country trying to build itself up, I think people forget, like, when they're not constantly seeing on the news, okay, well, we lost another person or we won this battle. Like, I think people forget that those service members are still putting in the work and that they're still away from their families, so I don't think the patriotism should go away. I haven't experienced that yet, but that's just something I could see happening with Afghanistan going down.
Don't forget, motherfuckers.
America's pretty fucking...
Yeah.
But we're also pretty like, squirrel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the hardest thing for us, politicians or civilians working with military, is like rules of engagement. Things like that. Like, sometimes in the wars, they tie your hands behind your backs where you almost feel like the people that you're killing are better friends than the people that are supposed to be protecting you. So, like, some of the rules that we had to abide
metaphorically
by.
Tie your hands behind
absolutely.
Your
back. Yeah. No,
making sure not...
you're going to combat with
like,
the
like, fucking... No, dude, like, making sure you're not, like, taking these people, like, into combat.
You got handcuffs behind your back.
Right, we're just making sure here, okay.
No. Yeah. So, like, some of the rules, like, you can't fire unless fired upon, or you are so scrutinized, okay, well, this weapon system that you're going to use doesn't match the weapon system that they're combating you with. And it would just get kind of It would make it difficult for you to get what you need to get done and to kill the guy that's trying to kill you. Because there's so much scrutiny, there's so much congressional oversight. Like, if anything happened, like, you're going to get investigated by your own people. And it's like, you shouldn't feel that way. Like, you shouldn't feel persecuted by the people that are supposed to be protecting you. Like,
right.
I mean, I didn't personally have this issue. I just know, like, with how the rules engagement read and how they're supposed to be executed, it was difficult. They made fighting a war hard.
How do you feel about, like, the drone strike situation that everyone's having a how do you feel about
what's drone strike?
The use
of drones in general? In war or, like, in home?
Yes. We'll start with
the war question. I love the war question. Okay. I'll start with the one out there.
We'll start out there in war. And clearly, you know, the problem with that is, while we can see where it's helped, you know, reducing American servicemen in the direct line of duty. But I mean, there have been civilian casualties involved.
No, absolutely. And they're not all human error. Like, it's some of it's systems error. But
really?
Sometimes, I mean, I'm sure, like, everything's electrical. Yeah, things have problems. What you lack is, when you don't have someone sitting in a seat, is the compassion and the know-how. But, like, with most of the drones, they're all being operated by the same person. But
a video game, though.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you lose a little bit of the, I'm in the seat, like, if I kill this guy, you lose that because, like, you have no, like, if he shoots the drone, I don't die.
Right.
But if you're in that cockpit, you have that feeling, okay, well, if this guy, yeah. I think the drones, though, have been very, very, very useful. They can run.
I mean, I imagine just the information reconnaissance drones are wonderful
for them. Oh, absolutely.
They're stealthy.
They've been taking out, like, high officials in Al-Qaeda. They've just been, like, knocking them out.
And the crazy thing is,
about the ones with cameras. You know, not even
well, pretty much all of them that have cameras have ordnance on them.
We ain't just sending them out with cameras.
We were way past that.
Some of them do. You have personal ones that you could take out, too, which are pretty cool.
Do you get smaller drones?
Did
you bring a drone?
I wish I had a drone. You can actually buy drones on Amazon.
Well, yeah, but then we gotta buy it. I was hoping you had. So you're the troops. You guys have drones for scouting ahead and stuff.
Yeah, so they have ones.
That's cool.
That is kind of cool.
Kind of multi-purpose. Some of them we wouldn't use them for the purpose that they were intended for, but yeah. we would certainly use them, like, to, like, kind of, like, you know, they have optics, so we can, like, see, okay, Zenides are gonna kill us. They had one that was cool that was,
like, helicopter drones, or what kind of drones?
Yeah, there were, we had ground ones, the ones that would be, like, RC car type looking thing, and then we have ones that are, like, helicopters, too.
There was one that was cool
that it was propeller-driven, but the propeller was underneath.
Mm.
So, like, we could clear out an area, like, get all the sand out of the way, so we could see if there was an IED, like, if what we identified was, in fact, an IED.
And the best part
about using the drones was that we could scare away, like, an little asshole kids or whatever that was coming up near you, because they didn't know if that thing was going to shoot at them.
Out of here.
So it kind of leads to, sounds like you had some fun toys, and the military's got a giant budget, you know?
They do.
Do you guys see on the ground, do you guys get to, like, actually reap some of the benefits, or is most of that money tied up in research and future weapons tech, or do you guys ever feel, like, do you ever
feel the strain when the budget gets smaller?
Okay.
So people will start digging at the numbers a lot more. Like, there's fraud, waste, and abuse in the military, just like there is in anywhere. So, like, when the budget gets smaller, people will start diving into the numbers a lot more. Like, what are you using your fuel towards? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to get smarter. And as a logistician, like, it's really important because
that's what you do.
That's your bread and butter. So you have to be smart at that. When money's good, you just get what you want. Like, when you're deploying a unit, you should get what you want. It should not be wasteful.
Not be an issue.
I don't think it should be wasteful.
Right. But if you guys need night vision cameras, goggles, you should get them as soon as possible.
And they do. Like, when I was in Afghanistan, like, if we needed a part for something because our vehicle's broken, you would have a civilian who was a subject matter expert on it, and you'd have the company that made the part there to put it on there for you.
Okay.
So it was pretty instantaneous. But when the budget gets smaller, you feel it.
You feel it.
You can't do as much as you want.
Yeah, because people are always like, oh, so much money, whatever, billions.
It's a big monster. It's a big thing. Yeah, as technology grows, the budget for the military has to grow. And it really just depends on how well-trained I mean, obviously, I'm kind of biased now because I'm in the military, but, like, I feel it, too.
No.
You take away that budget, like, I've already felt it in my last unit. Like, the budget has gotten smaller, so we cannot train as much as we used to. We don't get as many bullets to shoot. Our ammo allocation is much smaller than it used to be.
That's
so you,
probably kind of worrisome for you, too, right?
I mean, it forces the units to get tighter and better, so I mean, it is good because it makes you to be a better, more oiled machine or a better oiled machine. But it does limit you on what you want to be able to do. But I will say, like, when you get ready for a deployment or you're deploying unit, you'll get the funds you need for the most part, like, to take care of your guys.
Okay.
I have a question. What do you think about the so-called militarization of the police force here and at home? And why aren't they as good if we're teaching them military technique and strategy?
We're just giving them tools.
But that's what they're saying.
I love this one. This one is hilarious. They're actually taking some of that back. They're reneging on a lot of it because they realize, holy shit, it's kind of dangerous.
It's not the same.
You don't need to outfit the police force with the same things that we're going to get blown up with in Afghanistan. I understand, like, the threat here, like, they're still, like, even they get shot at, like, I'm not opposed to bulletproof vests. I don't think they need grenade launchers. Like, they need weapon systems.
Tank?
They don't need the tank. They had the same system, something like the MRAP.
MRAPs, yeah, that's what
they have that we had in Afghanistan. We gave them to them.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't our choice. Like, we were told.
Right.
You're giving these up. It economically, it doesn't make sense, and no, they don't need it because the danger is that, well, what's your purpose in your National Guard then? So when there's strife in the country, why would you outfit your police force to be stronger than your National Guard? It doesn't really make much sense, and it's dangerous because who's in charge of the police force? The politicians. It's not.
And
but
it
then,
varies. It's not like
but
a
then also,
single thing.
The other dangerous thing is that you're alienating your military force. Not that this would ever happen, but like with how like everything's become so privatized, like if the military wanted to stage a coup, they could.
Right.
Not that that would ever happen, but like that's what you look at. Like, why are you making your police force so strong? Oh, because you're worried about the military. I mean, that would be my perspective on it.
Hello.
Military would never do that.
No.
That's the perspective. Like, why else? I don't think the threat here for the police force is so great.
It's not.
That any things that
pretty much max is the greatest threat they're going to face.
I mean, sure, being a cop is dangerous, and it's not rewarding because everyone hates you. Everyone loves firefighters. Everyone hates police officers because they give you issue tickets and they arrest you.
Yeah,
that's right.
But you love them when you need them.
That's true.
You do want them. So, I mean, I think what's going on right now, I think the police force, I think there's a lot of good people.
Yeah.
I think there's only a few that are just fucking shitbags like there are in every institution that need to be weeded out, and they just haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're kind of in the limelight, so everything's like microscope, like holy shit.
Kind of what you were talking about earlier with sexual harassment.
Yeah, exactly. And then next week something will go to something else, and then the police force will be on the back line. Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of military guys, like, a lot of them going to law enforcement right when they
Is that a good career choice
For military guys after
transition?
Yeah, and I know a lot of guys that go into corrections, so they'll be working at the jailhouses and whatnot. But some of the, I'm not sure which ones, but like I think CHP will actually, if you do, like, say you did 8 years in the Marine Corps, they'll actually give you that time towards a pension in law enforcement. That's or, like, part of it. They'll give you some kind of hookup.
Right.
Something. Yes, I'm sure with a military background, it'd be easier to get into the police
force.
It seems
like we were talking about this earlier. I'd much rather have guys who are actually
trained, who lived that life
and death stuff. Like you said, people walking down the street, not sure if that guy actually. Because, like you said, everyone hates the cops. But you actually were in a place where walking down the street, you didn't know if someone was going to shoot at you.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like that's someone I want protecting the people. Someone who, like, is a little more, you know, isn't necessarily going to think someone just reaching into their pocket.
Yeah.
Isn't going to necessarily lose their shit. And, you know, they might watch it and make sure they're not reaching for a gun.
Like, if you compare and contrast Afghanistan to here, and, like, obviously, it's we have our difficulties here, how large we are, and, like, in a free society, like, it's not going to be perfect. Like,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Can't, if you micromanage everyone, then you're talking, like, communism, fascism,
absolutely.
Where you're living in a, everyone has the same house, and you get to go outside your house for an hour a day.
Right.
Might as well be living in a prison system. Yeah. We go to Afghanistan, and literally, I think the people there were very genuine. They were nice people. Like, I worked with the Afghan army, and they were genuine people. Like, they'd sit down for tea, they'd give you things with it, and have cordial conversation mm-hmm. through the translator. And they were genuinely good people. But when you'd go out in the street, you were like, I'm not comfortable.
Right, right.
And you have your suit on, and
everyone knows. Obviously, I don't make them comfortable because I look like I want to kill them.
Right, right, absolutely.
It's a choice. That's good. I would rather look that way than not.
Right.
A hard target is what they call it. But, like, you don't have that same feeling. When you walk down a street here, or you go run down the street in America, most neighborhoods, you don't have that feeling like, fuck, is this
okay? Am I safe here? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the luxuries we have, but I think we just over-scrutinize ourselves sometimes. Like, and the media, I think, is the one that drives that, unfortunately. Like, if they get something in their headlights, they better be good, because if it's not, you're in trouble.
I don't know
if you guys in the military think they're better than the police.
Yeah. Well, the Marines are better than any other.
All right. Yes.
You gotta love. Do the military love those like big military relay race things? But like, is winning those things those big
big deal?
Any sort of cross military branch competition?
Like a potato sack race.
It doesn't matter how big.
Tug of war.
It's the same thing as like when you're competing against like your big high school rally bishops.
Yeah. Yeah, like, going after him?
Yeah, like, it's the same fucking thing. You're like, I'm going to beat them.
What was the movie where Tom Cruise was in the Air Force? Are you guys, like, playing volleyball?
Oh, Top Gun? Top bullshit.
You guys... You should have seen this motherfucker's face. He was like, how dare you?
So, we're talking about drones, and I'm sorry to jump around.
Yeah.
I don't know, do we get your thought on drones here, back in the
I guess I don't really have like a big opinion on that. I think it gets a little
shooting.
I think it just kind of gets back.
It's
like why do we need that here? I mean, I guess I could see a use for it, but I haven't really put too much thought into it. I do think it's like a stepping stone though. Like it becomes like, okay, well now we can do drones. Well then, what's the next step?
Right.
What
can we do next? Right. At what point do you?
Now we got cops on our like. National Guard, we're now in martial law. Like,
right.
I think you just have to be careful. I do think there is a use for them because they are great for observing. Like, if you have a known terrorist, like, if you get a warrant, like, you do it the right way. This is the person we have intelligence that we know they're
a
credible threat.
Let's put a camera following him for a while.
Do drones just need to be flying over the U.S.? I don't think so. I think that just becomes a waste of time, resources, and what utility does it really provide?
Right.
How do you feel about, like, the NSA?
Yeah, so... I think certain parts of the Patriot Act work, but I think they should still go about it like using the judicial system. And I don't think Congress has also been providing the necessary oversight like they're supposed to, checks and balances. We have those for a reason. If someone's overstepping that, you put them in check and you give them their lane and they stay inside that box.
Need to know.
So I think that's why you should act like I don't think you should just be collecting data just for the sake of collecting data, because then at that point it's not intelligence.
Right.
Intelligence
is my dick pics.
Yeah.
So NSA,
that could be a credible threat. I don't know. But like,
it's borderline harassment.
But I think you should have like.
Good morning.
Because if you're just collecting information, it's just information. It's not intelligence. Intelligence, you should gather that for like an end game.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just hoarding all this information like this, and then it's just a bunch of numbers, and why do you have that?
Right.
For no reason.
Wasting server space.
So you should get a warrant. If you have a target, you get that warrant.
Find out everything you need about that guy.
There's a reason why we have a process.
Right.
Fuck Eric Snowden.
Who?
That exactly.
I
don't like that.
Do you know anyone who went AWOL? Is that the correct
term? So there's
what does AWOL stand for?
Well, we got the Army term and then got the Marine Corps.
Okay, what's the Marine Corps?
The one that matters.
So you can go UA. The one that matters. You have unexcused absence, which is UA. Right. And then you can become a deserter.
Okay, deserter.
Ooh. Yeah,
deserter. And that's what that guy, Bo Berendahl?
Bergdahl.
Bergdahl.
He was in the Army. He was AWOL. I guess is what they call it. But technically, I guess a deserter as well. So he abandoned his post in combat and got some of his comrades killed. He was out in a post and he abandoned his post and was taken. And they actually sent out a team to go find him and they were all killed.
Oh, okay.
UA,
back to the Marines. UA.
So they went out looking. They'll go try to find
him. Yeah, they tried to get him back, and they got killed.
So you guys have any big... Do you have any sort of like tracker beacon or any sort of GPS chip?
You can have handheld GPSs. We got radios, Blue Force trackers, which is like a GPS on steroids. It's almost like a cell phone on steroids.
A sat phone or something?
Well, you got sat phones too. You got redundant. You got so many different forms of communication, like redundancies. That's like one of the mottos.
You have
like,
to like try to get lost.
Yeah, you do. It's hard to. Like, there's a lot of ways to take care of yourself. Unexcused absence. So that's just basically you weren't where you were supposed to be when you told someone you were going to be there.
Right, okay.
And so that's attributed to.
But you're like still on the base. People could still find you. Later
well, you could be in San Diego, and that's an unexcused absence because you didn't tell anyone or you didn't request to go do that outside of a weekend. There's the rabbit hole goes very far, so I'll try and keep it like kind of.
I'll stop asking questions. I'll let you talk.
Unexcused absence. So, like, say you're supposed to be at formation at 7 in the morning. You're not there. You're UA, technically.
Okay.
And they can charge you for that.
Okay.
Not money, but, like, legal proceedings if they want to go after you. And then becoming a deserter usually starts automatically after 30 days if you've been gone for that long.
Okay.
But commanders have the ability to mark you as a deserter with... before that timeline, if they feel and you have shown that you have no want to come back.
Right.
So that's like where the thing is, like they have to show proof to a JAG, yes, this Marine does not want to come back and here's the reasons why. Then they can mark him as a deserter. So when you become a deserter, that's a felony in the civilian world.
Okay.
And the military. So you're fucked in both counts. So you have a warrant out for your arrest by the civilian police. So they can arrest you and bring you back to the base.
Right.
And then when they'll pretty much send you to the brig automatically when you come back. And then the Marine Corps will process you out as fast as they can. But then guess what? You have a felony waiting for you when you get out that stays with you.
Is that... So
and then you have an other than honorable discharge.
Now you gotta check that
box. Would you go to jail for being a deserter? For
yes.
Civilian jail?
Yes. Or, okay. Oh, civilian jail? No.
Is that like that's, a fine that's a or something?
No, it's nothing. You just have a felony.
Just a felony on your record?
As long as you didn't do anything like
right.
But you'll go to the brig when you come back to the military until they process you out.
And now this might be just something I see, you know, I've seen in movies and TV shows. If someone gets in trouble in the military, do they actually get, like, do they lose rank? Does that
they
actually
can, yeah, they can? Take, they can take your rank, they can take your pay, they can put you in the brig and give you bread and water rations if they want to.
Damn.
They used to be able to sentence you to death.
Woo! Wait, they're no longer able to?
No, the commander's lost that.
Commander's lost. They took that out of a commander's hand.
They took that one away. But they can still put you in bread and water rations.
Damn.
Just enough to survive.
Yeah. Well, we've been having a good talk here. I got one more question for you. At least one more question that we have written down. I'm sure we'll have a couple more anyways. Todd... T-O, capital D.
Thank you.
As
I got rid of the exclamation point and just made a capital D.
I mean, the exclamation point the exclamation point is spoke.
It's redundant.
Yeah.
This is kind of a multiple question, and if you don't mind, I'd like to ask the whole thing, and then you can answer it as you see fit.
Okay.
What do you think the military should be used for, and why? And in that vein, why did you sign up for the military?
Yeah.
Did you accomplish what you signed up for, you know, not a mission, you know, like not like a mission they gave you, but your personal reasons that you signed up for. And we'll actually answer that, and then I've got
I think I've already gotten out of what I need out of the Marine Corps, but I still want to stay in and just keep doing.
What brought you? What made you sign up?
I think the Marine Corps has shaped me in a way that the civilian world wouldn't have. Like, it forces you to grow up and to become a man, like, so quickly, because every decision that you make has consequences, and, like, you are literally in charge of people's lives. You can give the order to put someone to their death, like, not kill them, but, like, they're going to go and fight, and they may go...
It's not throwing mateys at a guy.
Yeah. Good old college days. The purpose of the military, I mean...
What do you think it should be used for nowadays?
You know, I don't like nation building. I don't like occupying forces. I really think it should be to eliminate credible threats to this country and, like, to maintain...
peacekeeper kind of status and
stuff? It's hard to say that because...
I mean, I know you
so do. This is, like, the two-front for me because I want to take care of the United States. So, like, a tactical level and strategic level. So, a tactical level, you want to protect the home. Mm-hmm. So, you got to make sure the home is tight.
Right.
So, you want to keep all the bad guys out. And that requires a lot of personnel. Not necessarily the military to do that. But on a strategic level, if you want to maintain peace at home, you have to maintain peace in other countries. And that's where, like, the peacekeeper thing is, like, the world police. Mm-hmm. It's, like, a shitty sentiment. But it – and we don't always get it right. Like, just because we're a democracy, Democratic Republic, whatever you want to call it.
Of course.
So, like, we don't always get it right, but we've got something that works. Right.
And often the Marines go in, you know, boots on the ground with nothing but supplies to help humanitarian crises.
A lot of the time it is humanitarian.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot, like, you know, the Marines and the Army aren't, you guys aren't just sent.
So, usually the Marines are there, like, they're the ones that kick the door down and the Army just occupies and gets fat and happy. And the Navy are the taxi. The Navy is the taxi cab drivers that get you there, too.
I just gotta say, I love the shade being thrown at you. I love it.
But, like,
huge fan.
You know, the Marine Corps couldn't do what they do without the other services. I just like bashing them because they'll bash on me, too.
Hey, absolutely. We support the Marines here.
Yes, Marines over all of them. We support every level, every...
But we got the Marines.
Well, it's because I'm here. Yeah. Tomorrow, soldier will be here. You'll hear a knock on the door. I'll be right there.
I just went to a veteran's graduation.
Yeah.
And I fucking hate graduations because they're always long, fucking boring, outside for some goddamn reason.
Was this your sister's graduation?
No, it was my buddy.
Oh, okay.
Paul, he's in the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
He was a cook in the Navy.
Is that even really serving?
He's serving. He's serving food. No, but cooks, those guys make morale.
Those are like the most important people.
Yeah, a good cook will fucking make
you
better.
You've got the funny chef in the back, too. Oh,
well, they can cook. Like, deployment is a lot better. You got a good chow.
Did you guys have a good chef when you were deployed?
We had great food. It just got old because it was like the same. Like, it was great food, but it got old because it was the same shit every time. Like, we had lobster once. We had lobster and steak like almost every Friday.
Jesus.
We're not talking like.
You're eating better than me.
No, I'm not saying like French, like big old. Right.
It was good. I mean, but like when you get to like month seven, you had the same smell of curry for 7 months, and you're like, I can't. I'm not hungry anymore. I'm just gonna go back to my
curry. Curry.
Yeah, they have curry. Yeah. Yeah, they have curry.
But this was the best graduation I've ever been to.
How miserable is pooping out there?
I have two questions.
Best graduation I've ever been to. They had food and shit.
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
No, they take care of it.
My question, how miserable is pooping out there?
Well, they had porta-johns, which was nice.
You don't have to lie to me about how nice a porta-john is, man. Those are never nice.
They're nice when you're in Afghanistan.
They
have another one where they have wag bags for you, which are... I wish I could have brought
them. I don't even want to know what that is.
So, wag bags. Wag bags. So it's literally like a to-go bag for poop.
Oh!
How do you just kind of...
So you either find an ammo can or like sometimes they had pre-built shelters
for
you.
Oh, you just put it in and you just put shit in it?
And then you steal up the bag and you throw it in a pile of other...
Oh, who's in charge of cleaning up the shit bag?
Probably some young Marine.
Oh! Yeah. Your own way?
Yeah, to-go bag for poop.
What was... Okay. Fucking best, weirdest, strangest thing.
I remember you told me something about...
Yeah, this one wasn't good. So this is not a best. I want to clarify that. This wasn't best. This was just fucking weird.
Okay.
We're out patrol in Helmand, Northern Helmand, and we're going through a town. I wasn't supposed to be there, but like I managed to like...
Those are always the best stories. When you're not supposed to be there. That's when you see some shit.
The grunts were like, hey, you want to come out with us? I was like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? So we go through town, and then we went to a club that was in it was in the town, and like to meet up with the sheriff. He was a sheriff. And that's how they justify it. We got to go. It's not like they were gonna go party or anything, but they just go out and check this out. And we go into this club, and it's just little boys. Like a little boy here, a little boy here.
The sheriff,
and he was banging these little boys. Like, they were his little butt buddies.
Two on each, like, he had one on each arm?
Yeah, little kids. So, what I got from them is that women are for procreation, men are for pleasure.
I'm sorry?
In Afghanistan. Yeah. It was pretty fucking weird.
Oh, man.
But, like, little boys?
Yeah.
Like, do you, but, like, why you gotta bring the kids in?
That's tighter beehole, I guess.
Good point, actually.
Yeah, so that was
of course.
That was pretty fucked up.
Of course they have tiny buttholes.
What other fucking weird ass?
That is pretty fucking weird. Was the club popping though or what?
Yeah, those little boys were getting down.
It's like a step up movie.
Yeah, they're all in sync, you know.
Oh shit.
No, it wasn't like that. It was pretty fucking weird, though.
What kind of club was this? Because are they a dry country, or is it a...
I think they have... You know, I'm not sure. I should probably know that. I think they have liquor in some places. They had tea. They were smoking whatever the hell hookah? It was. Yeah, they did have hookah.
This club sounds fucking horrible. What kind of tea do you want, bitch? Yeah. Give me a bottle of drink.
It was a weird place.
We got tea?
We got tea and hookah. I don't want a headache.
Yeah. Can I at least get water? Like, fuck. Where are we? We're next to the Hellman River.
Oh, God.
But yeah, the weather was just absolutely terrible.
Weather was terrible.
When I got there, it was snowing.
Ugh!
And then, like I said, there was that 2-week lull where it's beautiful, but the sandstorms. And then it's 120.
Ugh.
So, like, when you're getting ready to take a shit, like, literally the flies are just, like, by the right next to your butthole, just ready to go after that turd.
Like,
so, yeah, you would sweat while you took a dump.
Oh, well, yeah, that's...
And that wasn't because you were straining.
No. I've been to Coachella Port-a-John shit, yeah. Which is pretty terrible as well. Not 120, but, I mean...
First world problem.
Yeah, straight up.
He got a salad tossed by a fly.
Yeah.
It's true.
You talking about your Coachella bathroom.
you didn't even go into the bathroom.
It's a reason that I'm not fucking man enough to go into the fucking military.
And then
I can't do that.
You go take a piss, and like a couple of spots had like piss tubes. So literally, it was like a PVC pipe you'd pee into, and then it just filtered into the ground.
Just like underneath, just like a straight.
But like, there was like no like closure, and like there'd be four pisses.
How big was the PVC? Like, did you have to put your dick on?
No. Like, there would be like a metal grate, and then like a big PVC pipe you'd pee into.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was like a fucking carnival game or something.
And like, the funny thing is like this like piss tube would be like in the middle of the camp. And, like, people be walking around, and there'd be dudes right next to you because there's, like, a line of the piss tubes, and you'd just be here taking a piss and be like, hey.
Commanding officer, hello, yeah.
Is that Bob? Tap Bob for me. Damn.
So it used to be basically, like, peeing in the open. It was hilarious.
Gotta get down.
Nothing gets a group closer than seeing a dick, right? It's how friends are made. At least all my friends were. From elementary.
You go down a dark path.
Yeah, I guess you're going a little darker. Max, do you have anything?
No, this is really... Thanks for being our first... You know, you're our first...
You're our first interview here,
Todd. Our first guest, Todd.
Capital D.
Capital D.
Now, is the T lowercase? I've been wondering.
No. It's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
T-O-D.
Yeah.
All right, fuck with it.
I got rid of the exclamation point, so I had a capital
D. Yeah, capital D helps, though.
Yeah.
And it's 1D.
Yeah, right.
I thought about making it 3Ds. But, someone already had that.
All right. This has been another episode. Thank you.
Is there anything else?
Is there anything you would like to say, Todd?
No, I don't want to
say anything. No, he doesn't. He's like ready to get the hell out of here. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. You can check us out at questionabledecisions.com. Facebook, Questionable Decisions, Twitter, QD_online.
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day.
As we now know...
it's not Veterans
it's
Day.
Not for the veterans we know. It's for the people we've lost. Yes. So remember that. Keep that in mind.
We thought we were so fucking smart. We were like, we're going to get a soldier here on Memorial Day.
We really thought we were going to be like good
folks. Makes sense.
Yep, we're wrong.
That would have been a tough interview.
It would have been a hell of an interview if we could have pulled it off, though, right?
Yeah, I would have been impressed.
Shit. But anyways, have a great day. Enjoy the weekend. Stay safe.
Don't take the troops for granted.
Don't take the troops for granted.
Yep.
And
I'll come after you.
Otherwise, he'll come after you.
Todd will
fuck you up. He's a big kid also. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, there we go.
Todd.